Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the last night's big Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. The WWE coming off of what most people are calling one of the better pay-per-views so far in the Elimination Chamber. Such a huge amount of momentum coming off of that premium live event. And you really thought it would probably continue into this Monday Night Raw. And they did the right thing. They started the episode out with Sami Zayn, which is exactly what they should have done. And the crowd popped. We knew they would. But I think the WWE has a little bit of a problem. And the problem is this is rapidly becoming a one-trick pony. In other words, everything that the WWE has invested in is basically revolves around the bloodline and Sami Zayn. Yes, I know people are going to say Cody Rhodes, but that revolves around the bloodline. It revolves around Roman Reigns. There's very little past the bloodline that the WWE really has any interest in. And I think that clearly showed last night. So Sami Zayn gets in the ring, and I'm going to be honest, I've been very, very, very kind to Sami Zayn and this whole angle because I think it's been nothing short of fantastic. But last night, I think they dropped the ball a little bit. Sami Zayn got in the ring and basically said, well, you know, I feel like I let people down, which is fine. That's a good thing to say. I feel like, you know, everybody was behind me and I didn't quite succeed, but now I realize that, you know, all you people are behind me and my story's going to continue. The one thing, and I'm sure the WWE didn't write it for him, so he didn't say it. I'm not saying it's Sami's fault. Sami Zayn last night should have addressed Kevin Owens. I know you're going to say he did address Kevin Owens. No. Before Kevin Owens came out, he should have said, listen, I feel like I let all you people down, but it doesn't seem like you feel that way. So that makes me feel better. But that's not even the main reason. I feel like I let myself down. And the reason I let myself down is I turned my back on my best friend for a shot at fame. And now I realize how stupid I was, and I realize how blind I was, and I feel like an idiot. I feel like a complete fool. And even though he did call him out and apologize, it wasn't the type of apology you wanted. You wanted much more sympathy for Sami Zayn. You wanted Sami Zayn to say a lot more about the situation than, I know, you're past it. We're past talking. But, you know, together, I think we could take out the bloodline. I didn't want that. What I wanted was Sami Zayn saying, I caused this. There were times in our friendship when maybe you were the one who caused a rift. But that wasn't this time. And it was never like this. And everything you said was correct. And I was stupid not to listen. And I'm sorry about that. And if there's anything we can do to repair this friendship, I'm willing to do it no matter what it happens to be. That way, when Kevin Owens refuses it, there's much more sympathy. And then Kevin Owens' response makes absolutely zero sense because he says, I did not do it for you. Well, he clearly did, because when he had the chance to finish off Roman Reigns, he moved aside and let Sami Zayn do it. That's not doing it for Sami Zayn. So there should have been a lot more trepidation with Kevin Owens, too, saying, I don't know if I can trust you. Sammy, the thing is this. I still like you, but I don't know if I can trust you. I mean, I thought we were above what happened, and obviously we're not. And now I don't know. No, I didn't want to see you get your ass kicked in front of your family, which he said. But at the end of the day, can I trust you in my corner? Can I trust you to watch my back? Sammy, would you? I mean, be reasonable. It could have been a hell of a lot more dramatic. And that way, when Kevin Owens said, go tell your friend Jay to help you, people would have understood a little bit more. He was getting booed on the way out. He shouldn't be getting booed on the way out. People should have just been like, I see where he's coming from. Kevin Owens should have been a lot more clear in what he said. He should have praised Sammy and said, we've been friends forever, I get it. No, I don't want to see you get your ass kicked, even though you stood and watched me, which is what he said. But at the end of the day, I can't trust you. So when you tell me you're going to help me, Sammy, you told me that before. Maybe Jay trusts you, but right now I don't. That's all that had to be said. I don't think this was handled the best way it could be handled. And I'm sorry about that, because right up until then, everything they did was flawless. I thought this one fell a little bit short, Mike.
I thought so, too. And it's not Sami Zayn's fault. It's not Kevin Owens' fault. It's the writing, you know. I mean, this is a writing fail here. You know, this is a creative fail
right
here. So
correct.
You know. I mean, I can't. They can only, the performers can only deal with what they've been given, right? It's just like,
yes.
It's just like in a movie. The actors in a movie can only perform what's on the paper, what's in the script, right? So if it's not in the script, Sammy had that ad lib, but that wasn't enough. And they should have known, they probably after the fact known it wasn't enough. And I hope Triple H gets the fact that this was a creative writing fail. You know, I hope Triple H gets that fact.
I mean, again, there was so much more you could have done. Had you handed me that pen and said, figure it out, I would have said, Sami Zayn has to come out here and say, I don't feel like a loser. Not as far as this Universal title is concerned, because I feel like I did what I said I was going to do. And you people made me feel like $1 million. I feel like a loser because of what I did to Kevin Owens. That's why I feel like a loser. That's why I'm feeling down today, not because I lost to Roman Reigns. So I need him to come out here and let me say what I have to say. Then it should have been different. Sami Zayn should have been, literally, I would have had this in the script. I would have said, listen, Sammy, go out there and say, Kevin, while you were fighting for title shots, while you were getting featured main events, I was fighting Johnny Knoxville at WrestleMania in a mousetrap. That's where my career was, Evan. And I saw a little glimpse of light at the end of the tunnel, and I went overboard. And yes, I stabbed you in the back. And now I see how stupid I was to do that, to put yourself in my place. Then Kevin Owens could have said, well, I feel like a loser too. But not because I lost to Roman Reigns, because I lost my best friend. And no matter how many times I've said, I'm washing my hands of you, it always ends up that here I am standing in the ring. So now I'm going to tell you this. I can no longer trust you. And without that trust, I cannot have you in my corner. So, Sammy, I'm always going to care about you. I'm always going to be your friend to some extent. I am not going to connect my professional life with you anymore. Because the only thing it's going to end up doing is driving a bigger wedge between us. Time can heal this on the outside of the ring. It's not going to heal it on the inside of the ring because I don't trust you. Then Kevin Owens would have got the sympathy too. And people would have said, well, Owens is hurting too. That's what good writing would do, because you want both to get the sympathy from the audience. You want both of these people to say, the fans to say, well, I get Kevin's point, and he's not in a good place either. He wants to trust Sammy, but he can't, and I wouldn't either. And Sammy's saying, look, I lost my best friend, which is worse than losing the Universal title shot I had, and I can't get him back now. That's much better. Kevin Owens just basically saying, hey, go tell your friend Jay to cover your back. Well, listen, Jay Uso didn't rescue him. That's why it didn't make a ton of sense. I know there's more to the story to tell, and certainly Jey Uso is eventually going to turn on Sami Zayn. But that's why this was crucially important, that this particular segment made the audience sympathetic to both people. You're in Canada. They're both Canadian. You don't want to hear any boos when Kevin Owens walks out. You just want to hear that silence of, man, that's a shame. Because both of these guys are right. They weren't able to pull that off last night. It was sketchy writing at best, I thought, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Owens came out last night and the fans were giving like a negative reaction, like no cheers
well,
or
after
anything.
He left, they were. After he left, they were. Yeah, because they were booing him. Because he didn't go back to embracing Sammy. But that's because he didn't do a good enough job. Well, the writers didn't do a good enough job in allowing him to explain to the audience why I can't do this. Point was, you know he wants to. You know he wants to be his friend again. But he can't trust him. And I wouldn't trust him either after what he did. See, that's exactly what the audience would have said had it been done right. He should have said, outside this ring, Sammy, I don't have a problem with you. I love your family. We've always been close. Maybe time can heal this outside the ring. But the only way we're ever going to be friends is if I stay far away from you in our professional life. Because I just can't trust you. That makes sense. And the audience would have been sympathetic to Kevin Owens as well as Sami Zayn. Because then you have Sami Zayn saying, what is it that I need to do? Instead, we get Sami Zayn leaving the ring and Baron Corbin attacks him. I guess because there was a segment where Sami Zayn got in the ring and interrupted his promo. But, I mean, at the end of the day, that would have been the WWE deciding who to stay with and who not. So I don't know where that came from. The match was okay. Baron Corbin actually got more offense than I thought he would. They're trying to get some heat on Baron Corbin, but here's the thing. You're blowing it with Baron Corbin, too. If there was ever a time to let Baron Corbin go away for a few and come back probably a face and probably the lone wolf, this is it. Instead, you're still trying to make him a heel, just an ineffectual heel who always loses, always loses, always loses. At some point, you cannot have him be another Dolph Ziggler where you say he just, he makes other people look good. That's all he does. Because then, as Dolph Ziggler once so eloquently said, when I'm walking out to the ring and there's nine-year-olds in the audience saying you're going to lose, they already know it. It's already predetermined that they know I'm going to lose. How am I supposed to get over it all if I never win? I can't get any heat. I can't get a pop. I can't get anything because everybody knows already, even nine-year-olds. And he's right. Well, everybody knows Baron Corbin's going to lose. And the more you make him this dastardly heel, the less forgiving it's going to be. When you had that moment where JBL basically told him, forget it, and he said, I could try harder, I could do whatever, there was some sympathy for Baron Corbin. Now there's none. Now there's none. So you're going to have to keep him a heel, I guess. And I just don't see this. I don't know why they're doing this, Mike. I don't think it's going to work.
I don't think it's going to work either. And look, they had him come out and say what we thought he should say about and I guess they're going to keep having him coming out and saying, I'm the last guy to beat Roman Reigns and all this stuff. But once he says that, you got to put him on a winning streak.
Right.
I understand you want to keep Sami Zayn somewhat strong, but you got to, if he's going to keep saying that, you got to put the man on a winning streak and then be done with it, you know? I mean, because they're messing up. This could have been a great storyline if they decide to put Baron Corbin on a winning streak, you know? You have a guy
just keep him away from Sami Zayn. Keep him far away from Sami Zayn. He didn't have to fight Sami Zayn. He got a whole dressing room full of people who could have fought Sami Zayn. And it did not have to be Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin's storyline should have been totally down and out, even rejected by the heels now. Bad enough you were rejected by all the faces were laughing at you. Now the heels are. And this is, should have been his rehab story of him coming back and being something. But no, they're not going to do it. It's a shame, but they're just not going to do it. Match was okay, so, I mean, we'll give it credit for that. We then get this weird thing where Dolph Ziggler and Mustafa Ali have been at each other for weeks now, and finally Dolph Ziggler says, well, the only way to prove to you what I have to say is by beating it into you, so I'm going to beat you tonight. Then he goes out and promptly loses, and Mustafa Ali does this mocking, oh, you were right. All I had to do was come out here and smile and be happy, and I won. I don't know where it's going, and I don't care, because Mustafa Ali has zero charisma as a heel, zero charisma as a face. He's a great athlete, but he just does not have the ability to connect to the crowd. There were crickets in the crowd. Nobody cares. The story is wasted because the performer in it, nobody cares about. And I don't know where it's going anyway. If you think Mustafa Ali is going anywhere near a championship in any time in the future, forget it. There's, and I don't even know what the bottom storyline would be. Him and Dolph Ziggler form a team or him and Dolph Ziggler feud. Either way, it's not interesting. So for what it was, Todd, you know, it, again, an okay match, but no real story there.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, if it just, if this is like a, like a prompt and sort of like an instant match. Just like, just put these two guys together last night. Didn't have no
pretty much
storyline or invested it, people invested in it.
Yeah, very weird. Very, very weird. I don't know what to say about it, Mike, other than, you know, I just didn't care one way or the other.
Yeah, I didn't care for one anyway. I'll say this again. You know, Mustafa Ali, nobody cares about him. Unlike his ex-partner, who people tend to care about when they see him. You know, whatever they're calling him, they care about him to a point. You know, so you got to look at You know, who gets cared about, who the fans care about, and promote that person. They're kind of not doing that right now. You know, we don't care about Mustafa Ali, but we care every time we see, and we'll probably talk about this when we talk about the other, Chad Gable and them when they came out, but we care about, Monsoir or whatever they're calling him, and the other guy as well, Marseille, and even at least
more than we do. I mean, there's a lot of people who hate the angle, but at least there's a storyline there that you're interested in. How's it gonna play out with Chad Gable and Otis? There's no real storyline in this Mustafa Ali thing. What's the story? He's a smarmy, whiny crybaby who thinks he's owed a million things he's not owed. I get it. And where does that go? It goes nowhere. Just goes nowhere. Don't like it. Asuka takes on Nikki Cross. Pretty good match. Nikki Cross got in a lot of offense. You know, more than this match, what's important is that backstage there was an interview. And Nikki Cross literally said, all of my friends are gone. And I said to myself, well, who is she talking about? Is she talking about Alexa Bliss? No, I don't think so. So then that led me to believe we may be seeing at least some resurgence of her old group. Now, I think Eric Young is wrestling for... Did he come back to the WWE? Is he still over in WC? I don't even know where Eric Young is. He's getting a little up in years, so I don't know if he's coming back or doing anything. But the other two, I don't know. Something, there's going to be something there. They didn't do that for no reason. So I don't know where that's going, Mike. It makes things a little bit interesting because I don't know what she means by her friends. She didn't say friend, or I would have thought it's probably Alexa Bliss. She said friends. So right. Where does that go?
Yeah. I don't know where that goes. You know, I mean, I don't know where the other two guys are. And if she would have said, well, significant other, then we would have known, well, that's her husband, but she said friends. So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know where that goes. Interesting, though. We'll see what happens. We'll probably see a little more of this next week. I don't know. We then get MVP, who I guess is speaking for, you know, he's not saying he's speaking for Bobby Lashley, but he's calling out Brock Lesnar, saying you're a coward because you knew you couldn't break the Hurt Lock. Well, that sounds like something that Bobby Lashley's manager would say. And so he ended up having to do a low blow because you couldn't break the Hurt Lock. And I have somebody that wants to challenge you at WrestleMania, and it's almost. Now I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be hard-pressed to believe that Brock Lesnar has agreed to fight Almost. Almost is as green as grass. He doesn't have the ability to really do a match past maybe a few seconds, minute. And even though that's Lesnar's style, don't see Lesnar working with him. Lesnar's very fussy. If Lesnar wouldn't work with Jinder Mahal, who is a good wrestler, is he going to work with Omos? That does not sound correct. Maybe I'm wrong. If that's the case, it's going to be one of the shortest matches in WrestleMania history. Look out King Kong Bundy and the Midget. Right, because I'm telling you right now, this might last 5 seconds. This literally might be Brock Lesnar literally just picking him up at F5 goodbye, because I don't see them working out anything. Now, Brock Lesnar's got to understand one thing pretty clearly. I hope he does anyway. And that is he's probably not going to be around for years and years. And his legacy was pretty damn strong up until about a few months ago, when he lost 3 times to Roman Reigns, can't beat Bobby Lashley. And if you're going to start to do 10-second matches just to get your ass out of there, you're really going to hurt yourself in the long run. People are going to remember you as a guy who just took the money and ran. And I don't know if you really want to do that. I still say, Mike, I just don't see Brock Lesnar agreeing to work with somebody like Omos.
I just don't see it either, and that's the thing. Now, you know, we've said it before. I think it's more likely he'd work with the now than he'd work with Almas. You know?
I'm thinking somehow they're going to get back to Bobby Lashley. I don't know how. But I just think somehow they're going to get back to one more match with Lashley. Because I just don't see him working with Almas. How are you going to do a match? It's going to be one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history. I don't see it. I was really surprised, Todd, when they made that challenge. Because I'm like, I just don't think this is going to end up being a WrestleMania match.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that last night, that promo with MVP was not a heel promo. It was more like sort of like a tweener promo, a face and a heel promo, right then, down the middle. You know, like you said, it was not really that kind of, that was not really a heel promo right there with Bobby Lashley.
Well,
even
if it was, I mean, I don't see him. I just don't see them two getting in the ring together. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, we get a backstage segment with The Miz where, I guess it's their anniversary, and Maurice has got him something. He says he's going to reveal it next week because it's so massive that it's even better than his half-court shot that didn't count. We have Elias in the ring talking about Rick Boogs. You can guarantee there's a feud coming. Guarantee it. And so to promote that feud, they have Bobby Lashley come out and just beat the wheels off of Elias. Elias is looking like a punching bag. You went through this whole thing with Ezekiel in order to get Elias back. And now that Elias is back, you are doing absolutely zero with Elias. You've 100% given up on him. 100%. And that's a shame because I think there's a lot to offer there still. But they don't want to do it. And that's very clear. Nothing Elias says is going to matter. And by the way, this crowd, and I warn people about this, this crowd, which is not the same exact crowd, but, same region, that was so hot for the Elimination Chamber, was hot for exactly one thing. Sami Zayn. That's it. Cody Rhodes comes out, and, yeah, he gets a pop. Not the same kind of pop. And man, oh man, can you see the difference now when it's literally side by side between the heat and the energy and the enthusiasm for Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns? Not close. Not close. Paul Heyman gave maybe one of his worst promos ever. Because usually when Paul Heyman says something, it's so clever and it makes so much sense that you're like, wow, that's really good. Basically what Paul Heyman said was, who in their right mind would want to be the Universal Champion while you're managing the Universal Champion? Oh, you have to be on the road all the time and you're away from your family. No shit. As if Cody Rhodes did not grow up in the business. Oh, and by the way, his wife travels with him. Absolutely no sense. And that's very rare for a Paul Heyman promo. There's no heat on this because the whole thing doesn't make sense. You should have kept up with the family thing. You should have said Cody. Do you really want to challenge Roman Reigns and fail? Because here's the situation. You're going to fail. And when you do fail, your legacy's ruined. You say you want to do this for your dad. You say you want to make your dad proud. You're making your dad proud now. But if you take this to WrestleMania and you lose, and you are going to lose, all you've done is disgrace him. You've proven to yourself you're not worthy. You've proven to yourself you can't reach that plateau. Are you ready to do that? Why don't you just hang around here a little while longer? See what else you can accomplish before you take on a task you can't finish and destroy all your momentum and ruin your credibility. Because where do you go after you lose, Cody? To the bottom of the card? Back down to doing house shows in gymnasiums? Is that what you're going to do? That would have made more sense. Instead, he's saying, well, Roman Reigns isn't going to keep your wife warm because he's a happily married man, but I'm not. I don't even know what he's saying. It was just a terrible, terrible promo. And Cody just says, well, when I come face-to-face with Roman Reigns, I'll tell him the same thing then as I'm going to say now. I'm going to win. Oh, that's a brilliant promo. Thank you. Thank you. Didn't do it for me. This main event's quickly collapsing. They better do something big, Mike, because this is not getting the momentum that the Bloodline story did with Sammy.
Yeah, it's not getting the momentum, and that's the thing. You know, they better do something with it. And I'm not sure what they're going to do. I don't know. Now, I just looked it up. All the people in Sanity, other than Nikki, who's still in WWE, they're Wolf and Dane are wrestling in like an independent in Britain. Sawyer Fulton is doing nothing, and neither is Eric Young. He got released from TNA, so
he did.
So they're all the rest of them, all the rest of Sanity are doing nothing.
Alan, you might see a reuniting of Sanity because there's no other reason for Nikki Cross to say all my friends are gone. What does she mean by that? Number one, what friends did she have? I guess she could mean Rhea Ripley and Alexa Bliss. They were friends at one time, but they're not coming back. They're not going to be around her. So who would her friends be that's going to reunite with her? It would have to be Sanity. So I don't know. I don't know where that's going, but wherever it's going, it's at least something for Nikki Cross, which is good because she's very good at what she does. Anyway, Seth Rollins and The Miz. We have a little problem with Seth Rollins, too. And he is really popular, there's no question, but he's going back to the weird stuff again. And I'm not sure that's the best thing. He's going back to laughing every 10 seconds and trying to do the Joker, even did the Joker for the Hollywood thing. And I don't know, man. He had eased up on that. And the audience was all about him. And now it's – we'll see. We'll see. The Logan Paul situation is not helping Seth Rollins. People are down on Logan Paul, and they want to see him get his ass kicked. Seth Rollins is right when he says he deserves a better and a bigger spot in WrestleMania, and the fans want him to have a bigger and better spot at WrestleMania. He didn't have to fight Roman Reigns, but there were other people he could have taken on that would have been probably a larger event. So I'm a little disappointed in that. He gives The Miz a lot of offense. Quite obviously, him and The Miz must be friends because he let him have a lot more than I thought he'd ever give him. To the point where he almost beat him once or twice. And then he ends up curb stomping him three times and the referee stops the match, just stops the match. There's no pinfall or anything. Okay. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You know, Seth Rollins is still one of the more popular guys there, but I don't want him to return to this old business that he was doing before, Mike, because I don't know if that's going to cut it.
I don't think it's going to cut it either. And, I mean, the only reason to stop it after three curb stomps is, and we know the curb stomp, if it's taken right, it's not going to hurt you. You know, it appears to hurt, but it's not going to. If it's taken right, it's not going to hurt you. But the only reason to stop it like that is if the referee felt like he was going to get a head injury, you know, or felt like he had a head injury, you know?
Right.
You know, a concussion. Because basically that's what the curb stomp is you stomping on the back of a guy's head, stomping the guy into the mat. Now, granted, like I said, if you take it right, it doesn't hurt. If you do the move right from both ends, from the guy that's doing it and the guy that's taking it, it's not going to hurt the guy that's taking the move. But that's
nope.
The only reason I see he's, you know, stopped the match.
Yeah, and look, move in the world to take, easiest move in the world to give. I love when people say, that's a dangerous move. That is one of the least dangerous moves I could ever possibly imagine. Because number one, he doesn't really stomp down on you. Number two, your hands are already on the mat, so you can control your own head as it goes down. My problem is, you had Montez Ford carried out on a stretcher practically after taking one. The Miz took three and rolled out of the ring. Okay. Whatever. You know, you're not going to get that much of a pop going against The Miz. Everybody knew Seth Rollins wasn't losing to The Miz. So, again, it's just the Canadian fans are like, okay, well, it's nice to see Seth Rollins. He's obviously not losing, so we'll just sit here and wait for him to win. There wasn't a lot of suspense last night. That's a problem. Most of these matches were pretty obvious who was winning, Todd.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was just not like Friday night or Saturday night with the live event on Peacock and Friday night on SmackDown. There was no Holly reaction last night compared to the other two nights.
Right. Absolutely. So we have the ding-dong hello thing. I can't remember the last time the tag team champions defended their belts. Becky Lynch brought that up. It's just ridiculous to even have women's tag team champions. It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And it's more of this nonsense where it's just like, well, we have to. Because if we don't, what about equality? What about equity? You don't have enough people. You don't have any team. You got to bring back Lita and put her with Becky Lynch to even have a goddamn team. And then once again, the writers drop the ball. Bailey says something very smart. She says, what in the blue hell would make you guys think you deserve a shot at the title? You're not even a team. Becky Lynch says, well, she's a Hall of Famer. So what? Well, she's held this title and that title. So what? So what? The Miz is a former WWE champion, so does he deserve to go against Roman Reigns because he was? It makes zero sense. And that's what frustrates me, is when things make zero sense. The way they have done this, and I know what you're trying to do, you're trying to say that Bayley put her mouth before her mind and agreed to let her team go against Becky Lynch and Lita when they really didn't want to. Damage Control obviously really didn't want to. They're supposed to be scared to put the belts up against them. Then do it the opposite way. Do it the opposite way. Have Becky Lynch come out and just not say anything about a tag team, just jaw-jack with Bayley, and then have Bayley say, well, if you're so great putting down my tag team, greatest tag team of all time, why don't you go find yourself a tag team partner? And we will put the belts up on at any event, any time, provided you can find yourself a tag team partner. Then let Lita come out. That would have been better than Lita coming out and then saying, we want a shot. Again, just that's lazy writing. Because the way I just described it, Bailey would have put her foot in her mouth, thinking, well, Becky Lynch isn't going to have anybody. Who's she going to have, you know, who's going to come out of there? Somebody we've seen a million times is never going to help her. No, it's Lita. Then they could act shocked, and she could have said, okay, well, you know, you opened your mouth. we'll take that shot. Instead of saying, we deserve it because, and then running through your accolades, none of which is relevant. So once again, Mike, you know, it's just, that's, I think that's bad writing.
Yeah, it's bad writing. I mean, again, Trey, when he originally came back to be creative and was doing some really good things, we praised Triple H. Let's be fair about this. We got to, again, this is bad writing. It's not Becky Lynch. It's not Bayley. It's not, you know, Lita. It's not, you know, these other people. It's the writing, you know, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
And furthermore, when Bayley was saying what she was saying, clearly see that Dakota Kai was on crutches. Right?
Yes. So, yeah, look.
Wait, Bayley saying all this stuff about the greatest tag team champions and they'll fight anybody. How is she going to fight on crutches?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So backstage, we get Chad Gable's preening in a mirror. Bronson Reed comes over and kind of makes fun of him. And then Otis says nobody talks to Master Gable that way. Obviously, those two guys are going to fight. That'll be fun. I don't know exactly how they're going to start it or book it, but if it were me, I would have Bronson Reed, who does that great, I'm bigger, badder, and stronger than everybody attitude good. Let him do what he's going to do, crush everybody in sight. Very first time that Otis gets in that ring with him, not to fight him, maybe just to ward him off or whatever, he should do that. Go ahead, you know, run at me, see if you can knock me down. And Otis should literally knock him on his ass. First shot, roll him out of the ring with him like, well, you got to be kidding. Never thought that would happen. Then Bronson Reed should be a little less confident and be like, you know, screw you, but walk away. So people are like, Bronson Reed not so confident now. You didn't think Otis could do that. He went down like a shot. Because then the fans will all be behind Otis. Otis ain't winning it. But it doesn't matter. You want it to look like Bronson Reed, yourself to the rope, see if you can knock me down. You can't. Boom, first time, right on his ass, outside the ring. He's gone. Otis gets the big pop. Bronson Reed walks away looking, you know, like a fool. He's going to win the feud, but that's okay. Because it will still make Otis look pretty strong, and Otis has got something else going on because obviously Maxine showed up, distracted Otis enough with her business card, which I thought she gave him the other week, but apparently he lost it because she gave it to him again, and he's looking at it like he saw it for the first time. Once again, is that good writing? You gave the man the business card. Dad, he's like, ooh, business card. And now you're going to give it to him again, and he's reading it again as if he's never seen it before. And he's so enraptured by it, he doesn't even realize his tag team partner and mentor has lost the match. Not good. Not too good. See, this would have been the spot if you are going to feud those two. This would have been the spot that when Bronson Reed went to maul Chad Gable some more, Otis got in there, went eye to eye with him. Bronson Reed slaps his chest and says, go ahead, man. Give it your best. Otis whips himself to the ropes and boom. Down goes Bronson Reed and he's out. So the announcers could say, I don't think Reed ever thought that Otis was going to bounce him out of the ring in one shot like that. That's the first time Bronson Reed's felt anybody even close to as powerful as him. And he obviously doesn't like it because then you would have had something and people would have said, well, that'll be fun. Instead, Otis, I don't know what they're doing. I know she wants a plus size model or whatever. That's funny, but we'll see where it goes. We didn't see the other two guys there. Otis, again, has a lot of charisma, but you got to be careful. If you're going to split up Chad Gable and Otis, which looks like you're going to, you got to make a decision, Mike, on, you know, what you're going to do with them, who's going to be the heel, who's going to be the face. I mean, this match was fairly good, and Chad Gable literally suplexed Bronson Reed, which was amazing, really.
Right, and I mean that plays into the quote surprising strength of Chad Gable. You know, you don't think a guy that size, you know, what is he, 200, maybe 205 pounds, maybe, can suplex
right.
a 300 pounder like, you know, like Bronson Reed. Now you look at Otis, yeah, Otis can do it. And basically that match is, that's an old school match there. Bronson Reed and
yep.
Otis. That's an old school match.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Otis has a lot of charisma, Todd, but, you know, he's not going to – I don't think he's going to win the feud against Bronson Reed when it happens. But it'll be a fun match to watch, I think.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this match – you're gonna, like you said, they're teasing this whole thing with Otis and Bronson Reed here to the Battle of the Big Men. The Battle of the Big Men, just like back in
that
the day with Andre and Big John Studd.
You're right, exactly. Or King Kong Bundy. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, it should be fun. It should be fun. The crowd will be solidly on Otis's side, which, again, unless this is the thing. If you're going to mix them up with these Maximum Male models, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm not 100% sure. Okay, so we get to the main event, and Edge takes on Austin Theory. You knew Edge wasn't going to win. See, this is the problem with this Raw. There is almost not one single match that I can think of, really, now that I think about it. Not one single match whose outcome was ever in question in any way, shape, or form. And when the main event even, now, I know people say, well, Sami Zayn, that was kind of, nah, there were a lot of people who thought something was going to happen. Nobody thought Edge was winning. If you think Austin Theory is losing, and Austin Theory has made this so obvious, and they're telling him to do this, by the way. It's not like Austin Theory is just going out there and saying what he wants on the mic. They are making it as clear as they possibly can that Austin Theory is taking on John Cena at WrestleMania. They can't make that any more obvious. So he's not losing. So then I said to myself, well, he's not going to get clean pinned. Edge is not going to get clean pinned in Canada. So obviously, there's going to be interference. So I'll just sit here and wait for Finn Balor to show up. Well, guess what happened? And here we go with another one of these matches. It's probably going to end up being the Demon Finn Balor against some form of Edge. I still don't care. I have had enough of this feud. I've had enough of the Judgment Day. It's just a dumb group at this point. There's no point to it. Just get Rhea Ripley and Dominic the hell out of there. Let Damian Priest go on his own. He's far better on his own. Let Finn Balor do what he's going to do on his own. Forget it. You feuded with Edge for a year. A year. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. So I don't know. I mean, you know, Austin Theory's the real deal. He put on a great match. Edge still can go, which is amazing considering his injuries and his age and everything, but he's very good at what he does. But that crowd knew. You have smart wrestling fans up there. That crowd is, we're rooting for Edge because he's Canadian. But every single person, if you went around in the audience and said, who are you rooting for? Everybody would say Edge. Now you say, who's going to win? Everybody would have said Austin. Theory's obviously winning. And probably half of them would have said, we're waiting for Finn Balor to come out and interfere because we know that's what's going to happen. How many people go to see a movie when you already know the ending? Remember the old thing, don't tell me the spoilers. I don't want to know what happens at the end of this movie. I don't want to happen at the end of this book or this TV show, right? Oh, you ruined it for me. You told me the end. WWE does that all the time, even with their main events. And I don't like that. There's some matches that's obviously going to be blatantly obvious. But your main events should always have a little bit of a question mark behind them. And I know there are people who say, well, it was Canada. He could have possibly won. Yeah, you're going to give Edge the title. That's what you're going to do before WrestleMania. You knew that wasn't going to happen. You couldn't come up with a better main event than that. You couldn't come up with something that people would have said, you never know. Had a bunch of people there. You obviously could have. Now, Trish Stratus, by the way, was backstage and told to leave. Not because anything bad. They were going to use Trish Stratus last night, and then somehow creative plans changed, and they told her, we're not going to use you this week. And they let her leave early. The plans are they are still going to use her in some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure what that form is. You would have thought it would have been something to do with Lita, but it doesn't look like it. Maybe it still will be. But creative plans changed, and so she left the arena early. She will be, eventually, before WrestleMania, she'll be making her appearance. In theory, and Edge did fine, Mike, but I just don't think you can have a whole card of matches whose outcomes are so obvious that it's almost like watching a movie you've already seen.
Right, and that's the thing. And here's the deal. You go back and you go, and we didn't talk about it, but the Rhea Ripley interview with her and Dominic earlier in the show. And what did they say? There were a couple things that they said that people might have thought were throwaway lines, but they basically, they're starting to distance them from, but in that interview, they start to distance themselves from the rest of Judgment Day.
I hope so, because I think they really have something. I just don't think Finn Balor and Damian Priest do. As the Judgment Day, I think Damian Priest actually does on his own. Finn Balor, I don't know what to say. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I respect him as an athlete. He's a good athlete. He just has – he is not good at getting heat. He is not even good at getting a pop, really. Unless he comes out as the demon thing, nobody really cares, and he doesn't do that much. And he just isn't very good on the mic, and he just isn't all that charismatic. And people, I just don't know. I don't know what you do with him. Honestly, he was better off in NXT because in NXT, the fans didn't really care. You don't have to really have a personality or a gimmick. Just get in the ring and do your 20-minute match, and people will be happy. And that's Finn's wheelhouse. Stuff isn't his wheelhouse. And for the people who say, that's not important, shouldn't be important, Sami Zayn, if it wasn't for the way Sami Zayn portrayed his character, Sami Zayn would not have been in that situation. It is important. And for the benefit of people who are saying, it doesn't really matter if it's unpredictable, yeah, it does. No, every match isn't going to be unpredictable. But your main events and big events, they should be somewhat unpredictable. Because once again, you may watch your favorite movie 50 times, but I bet your favorite movie is a horror movie or an action movie or something. It's not a whodunit. And you know why you don't watch a whodunit 4, 5, 6 times? Because you know whodunit. I mean, I didn't have to watch it. If you told me Edge is fighting Austin Theory for the title at the main event of Raw, and I didn't watch it, I'd say, let me guess. He almost lost the title 4 or 5 times. Edge was doing well, and Finn Balor showed up and waylaid him. And, oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, I didn't need to watch it. Quite obvious. Quite obvious. So I think they lost a lot of momentum last night, and I think very clearly we have seen that the same basic audience that was berserk on Saturday has chilled out considerably, and I warned everybody about that. I said, now that this major part of the storyline is over, trying to continue it somewhat because they know this is the hottest thing they got, be careful because it's going to cool off. But in the process, you should have had another major story going that's starting to swell. While this story was on its last chapters, that's when you start writing a totally different story for totally different characters that's going to capture the imagination of fans same way. So the minute this one's over, you're like, oh, yeah, but there's still this one. That's what soap operas do so well. just when the ending is going to come of one major storyline, the other one has been building for a while, and, oh, that reaches a crescendo where you're like, okay, this one ended, but, oh, this one's getting really good. There's always a different plot line running. WWE did not do that, Mike.
They don't do it, you know, and that's the problem. And one other thing, I don't know if you got to it yet, but one other thing is that they're going to have to finesse this Asuka thing, all right, because they're, I mean, the way she comes out, she still, you can still see the old vestiges of that old bubbly, you know, Asuka, that personality that was over, right?
Yes.
But they want her to be this tough, hard-nosed, heelish type of character. That bubbly Asuka is not that type of character. So they're going to have to finesse this thing to the point, I know they're headed toward, you know, Asuka and Belair, but they're going to have to finesse Asuka's new character to a point that I'm not sure they have the skills to do, you know, because that bubbly Asuka is still there.
I tend to agree with you. I know a lot of people said, oh, I love that character, and I'm glad they're giving her a push. Me too. But the thing is, we clearly have already seen that's not her. Couldn't you have just given her a push the way she was? Wouldn't that have been okay? I think it would have been. I don't know. I think it would have been. Anyway, this week, I'm going to get, listen, I know I'm going to be a little hard on this show because the Elimination Chamber was so good. You had so much momentum. I think the momentum got stalled. I think the Cody Rhodes thing is not going over like they thought it was going to. Maybe it'll pick up steam. You got some time, but right now it's stalled. And this show felt like a tired leftover show after a premium live event. It's kind of what it felt like. I'm going to give it a C. I thought it was, you know, it's average. It was very average, Todd. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. It was there.
I'm going to give it a C as well. Well, like you said, it's just very average and everything. Oh, like you said, it just back to the office, like the everyday thing.
Yeah, I think they lost a lot of momentum. Mike, your score this week.
I've got to give it a C as well. I mean, I'd like to give it anything high, but I can't. It's got to be a C.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, they could have – you had to ride that momentum. I just think you failed to a certain extent. You didn't totally fail. It wasn't a flop, but it wasn't great. I think a lot more could have been done with it, and it's a shame that they didn't. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.